if you look at what happened in the other soft tissue robots fields, people started doing the surgeries they were used to doing, is that they were figured out, hey, you know, as I'm doing these surgery, what I'm realizing is I can now do something that I wasn't able to do. I've got access, I've got dexterity in places where I didn't used to have it. Once we have the technology in place, we will actually be finding new avenues and new things to do with it.
Hey, welcome back to a new series we're calling the DocSF 25 Previews, the Digital Orthopedics Conference San Francisco's event previews, where we take a few minutes to connect with some of the speakers who will be joining us at the UCSF Digital Orthopedics Conference on October 3rd in, appropriately, San Francisco. Now, I'm Stefan Obini. I'm the founder and chair of the conferences, and I'm super excited to have with me here today Nick Kalivas, professor at UCSF, alongside me. Actually, we trained together here in the orthopedic department. And Nick's had a long and storied career that has led him to being both an investor as well as an advisor to startups. He has been very involved with digital technology and transformation in the past 20, 30 years. He'll be leading one of the breakouts in sports medicine, and he's here to tell us a little bit about what we're going to be hearing at that session. Nick, welcome to DocSF Previews.
Thank you, Steph. Thanks for the opportunity. I'm looking forward to October. Should be an exciting session. I think I've had a little preview of the program, and I'm keen to see what's going to happen.
Okay, so you've been leading a breakout session at DocSF in sports medicine. So what three currently available technology solutions are you excited about in that specific area of orthopedics?
So I think that sports medicine has had an interesting path in terms of technology in some ways. So basically, in the simplest form, is the digital scribe situation that we are now in. And I think many practices are adopting, and in sports medicine now, that's now being sort of, those digital scribes are being trained and developed into specific sports medicine practices.
Are there other technology solutions, like maybe robotics or anywhere in the AI space that you're excited about?
So I'm very excited about robotics, and full disclosure, I'm an advisor for a robotics company. And when we specifically look at robotics, I think sports medicine is very behind on robotics. Robotics has taken over urology. Robotics has taken over GI surgery, GYN surgery. And of course, now we all have now robotics for arthroplasty. But where are the robots for arthroscopy? That's a big gap. Arthroscopy is a difficult surgery that's done in very tight spaces. Miniaturization is needed for that activity. And that's where robotics could play a big role. So we're talking about soft tissue robots. But now with the robots, in terms of some of the things for sports medicine, and we're seeing these now develop down the line, there's companies here in the US and in Europe that are developing navigation tools for things like ACLs. ACL tunnel position is critical. ACLs fail if you don't put the tunnels in the right position. Currently, we use visual landmarks, really. That's about it. And so if you have a digital technology solution that's going to put that tunnel in the exact anatomic place every time, you're going to see a massive role for that. And we're seeing that coming out. And robotics could certainly be part of that, right? You can have a robot solution that does digital mapping and twinning of the joint. So you can drive around in the joint and know exactly where you are. But can also use preoperative data from like CT scans and MRIs to really help you reference your positioning.
So you've been involved in transformation and technology changes for a while now. What do you think, what are the lessons you've learned when it comes to digital transformation or technology adoption in orthopedics?
It always takes longer than you think it will. That's probably the number one. But it requires a dedicated team. It's oftentimes it's led by one person, or it's one person who has an idea, but it does require a dedicated team and surrounding yourself with the people that have either the passion and or the experience to push it through to every stage. It's a complicated and difficult setup. I've just come off a week of JPM, just drinking from a fire hose, as usual, of just pitches and presentations. All stages of companies all have what they think is a good idea, all sort of searching for the path forward. And it's not an easy process. One of the quotes I heard is, if you're not getting five no's a week, you're not fundraising. I think there's a sort of almost romantic perception that's out there about starting a startup and making it successful. But it is a difficult process that takes a long time, or longer than you always wanted to. And you hear about the success stories, but there's lots of other stories where people are left by the side of the road. So I think those are the things that I see, but you do see the successes. And in orthopedics, you know, I've been lucky enough to be involved in some and hopefully in more. And I've seen some, like I say, you know, fall to the wayside. That happens.
So tell me on the positive side, because we've all heard the stories of how complicated it is. What three attributes of companies that have been successful would you list?
So number one, they really have to fill an unmet need. I think that there is a tendency to say, well, there's this product, this technique, whatever it is, and we can do it better. But, you know, that's not going to necessarily get you to a successful level. Okay. So number two, the thing that I think is really very key is to work out their business plans. Many of these companies have a sort of, if you build it, they will come attitude, almost as important as how exciting the technology is figuring out how much it's going to cost, how it will fit into the ecosystem of the complex ecosystem of US or wherever your target market is. So that's two. I think the number three is really perseverance. There are a lot of stumbling blocks. There are a lot of obstacles. There are a lot of unseens and unknowns that will come at you. You should have a plan, and you should also be able to know that at times you're going to have to pivot, sometimes to a small degree, sometimes to a large degree from that plan in order to be successful.
Excellent. Those are really great points. Okay, lastly, what technology applications are you most excited about for the next 3 to 5 years?
So in sports medicine, I think that I mentioned it, and obviously I've got an interest in robotics. I think that the robotic field has, like I said, been underdeveloped.
And how did you get involved with them?
They recruited me about a year and a half ago to help them develop a meniscus repair product for their robot.
Uh-huh.
And once I started talking to them, I was like, hey, yeah, you know, I can also do ACL and rotator cuff, you know, I'm not a one-trick pony. And to be honest, I found it interesting enough that I said, you know, I'm going to go fly to Australia. I'm going to take a look at this. I'm actually really interested. And it sort of developed from there. I stepped away from a busy clinical practice 6 years ago so that I would have more free time, mostly to play with my kid, but also to sort of play with some of these projects. And nothing came across my desk for 4.5 years that I had any interest in, not even getting involved, never mind investing. Mm-hmm. And then this came across and I was like, you know, this has the potential to be really interesting and also potentially to do very well. Even if I walked away tomorrow, I would say, hey, I've had a great experience. I've learned so much about everything, including arthroscopy, because to do robotics, you have to relearn everything you do in arthroscopy. Everything, you know, all of the things we use every day, we don't think about anything behind it. When you redesign all of these things, you actually have to go into like an incredible amount of engineering depth. And to me, that's been very interesting. I think it's going to do well. I think there's a long path ahead, but that's what startups are about. I think there are things that we're going to be able to do in robotics that we want to be able to say, right now, the first robot that comes out will be able to do what we do equivalently at a minimum to what we're doing now. Okay. But if you look at what happened in the other soft tissue robots fields, what started to happen after people started doing the surgeries they were used to doing is that they were figured out, hey, you know, as I'm doing these surgery, what I'm realizing is I can now do something that I wasn't able to do. I've got access, I've got dexterity in places where I didn't used to have it. So now suddenly I can do, I'll use the Da Vinci machine as an example. They're doing robotic transplants. So I think there's improving what we do now and then discovering we can be speculative and say, well, there's certain things we think we can do. But once we have the technology in place, we will actually be finding new avenues and new things to do with it.
Nick, I think that's fantastic. So you're going to run a whole session on these topics down at DocSF in 2025, this year, actually October 3rd. We look forward to having you there with us and some of your colleagues that will join you on the panel. So thanks again for taking time to join us today. Any last thoughts?
No, I just been telling you that I can't wait. This is a topic of passion for me. So I'm excited to talk to other visionaries, learn from other people, and share what I can.